Hello and welcome to Read Comics. This is our 49th podcast.
Really? Oh. 49?
49.
Wow. Next one's going to be a big one.
Yeah, we're like
old people. Special episode of Read Comics.
Every episode of Read Comics is special.
We'll give the lesson at the end of the podcast.
Yes. So, episode 49.
We have myself, Marty.
Florence.
Jason.
And Angela.
And Susie.
Yay!
Yay! And baby Colleen, who might be speaking up from time to time.
You think she might speak up?
I think she might, based on past experience.
She's an opinionated lady. She's got a lot to say.
Based on yesterday's past experience.
We recorded the Film Confessional podcast last night, our time travel episode.
Yes.
Which went very well.
I think so too.
Is that a tie-in with the 25th anniversary of Back to the Future?
You know,
we never mentioned
that it was a 25th anniversary.
We mentioned Back to the Future several times.
And I also realized after that I'd forgotten to mention that there's going to be a new Bill and Ted's movie.
What?
Did you not know?
What?
Yes, they're making a third Bill and Ted's.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Who's I don't know. I think it's kind of wrong.
Keanu Reeves is going to be in it.
Alex Winter?
I don't know. I don't know who else is going
to
be in it.
They're going to have to find Alex Winter.
You would
what
think.
Else was he doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Is he going to turn that down?
Yeah. I mean, Keanu, still, like, he can live off Matrix forever.
Right.
But George Carlin won't be in it.
Yeah, it's true.
That's true.
Because he's dead.
They could just go back in time and get him.
Hello. They got Abe Lincoln to be in the movie.
They did. Okay, so this is one of our book club episodes. You know, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, because that's all we do anyway.
And initially, I think in the last one, I talked about that we were going to do The Goon. Well, when I was in San Francisco about a month ago for the Folsom Street Fair, I went to a comic shop in the Castro, which is awesome because it was a gay comic shop in the Castro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was it all gay comic books?
Well, no, it was regular comic books, but they had a huge feature in the front of the store for gay cartoonists, local cartoonists.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you look at the displays and stuff, and you're like, okay, this comic shop is run by gay men. You know, the only woman that was very prominently displayed really was Wonder Woman, because, you know, she's fabulous. They had tons of, like, pictures of Beefcake everywhere. It was great. It was like, you know, I've talked in the past that I wanted to have a GLBT comic book convention. This store was like a little mini GLBT comic book convention.
Aww.
So one of the comics I found there, which I had actually heard of the comic before, but I had never found it locally, was called So Super Duper. And I feel kind of guilty right now because I'm not... Oh, Brian Anderson. It just came to me. Right, Susie? You have them in front of you. Brian Anderson is
the writer and the artist up to the last two issues.
Yes, he did.
Which is just the art and the writer.
Yeah, he's the writer of all of them.
Selena Hernandez.
Yes. He did give up the writing chores after a while. Drawing chores after a while. Which, you know, I liked her art. But I felt that Brian Anderson's art had a certain charm to it. It definitely was of the less photorealistic variety.
Well, here's what I kind of my take on it, and this is really silly, but to me it feels homemade, even though most hand drawn art is homemade.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. And this is, it's a comic that Brian Anderson created about a superhero who is extremely effeminate, and everyone knows that he's gay, except that he himself was in massive denial about his gayness.
Well, the other really interesting thing that I thought was, I mean... That I noticed about the comic, or that stood out to me about the comic right away, is that he doesn't really have any superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
No,
in the beginning, he doesn't really have any superpowers.
Well, he has a power that we don't have.
He thinks that he has superpowers, and it is clear that he has not really exhibited them ever.
He has the same superpowers that Deanna Troi had.
The power is, we should just say, he is an empath.
He is an empath, yes.
He tells them when the bad guys are coming.
No. Yeah, but like, for at least the first couple issues.
He's sitting in the foreground and there's a big rampaging big gorilla and he goes, hey, that guy's angry.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, he was Deanna Troi at the beginning.
Okay. All right. Sure. I didn't really feel from that particular show that I can't remember, Star Trek, that Deanna Troi was useless. Whereas I think part of the point here was essentially useless.
You're right. He at the beginning
he was part of a super team.
He was part of a super team, and he in battle like that. Yes, he is. Part of the comedy is that he's very ineffectual. Susie, what's the name of the name of the hero?
The hero that that's the leader of his group?
No.
Himself. Psych.
Psych. Psych. No E, correct?
No, there's an E.
Oh, there is an E. Okay.
So that was, I wasn't sure if it was Psych or if it was Psyche.
Psyche, like the Psych. New mutant.
Because somebody mistakes taking
Oh, goodness. Sorry, we just had a little bit of a baby coughing fit there. Oh. Say again, Susie?
I wasn't sure if it was, since there is the E at the end, whether it's Psych or Psyche. But I think it is just Psych, because somebody mistakenly calls him Bike at one point.
Yes, yeah. And, I mean, Psych is definitely fits more with the character.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we said that we were going to let Angela give us her thoughts so she could take off. So why don't we go ahead, Angela. You and Marty and Florence, I bought the comics in San Francisco and read them on the way back from... while I was out in San Francisco and then on the flight back. And then I gave them to Marty and Florence and Angela to take with them to Ireland. And so they read them... on the flight back from Ireland.
At a cruising altitude of 35,000 feet.
Yes.
We enjoyed the comic books.
So why don't you give us your thoughts, Angela, before you vacate the premises?
Yeah. Well, I had a question for you. Do we know how old the author is?
He's in his 30s. Maybe early 40s.
Okay.
But he's definitely in his 30s.
Yeah.
And he's a bear of a guy.
Yeah,
He's big and hairy, I think. From what I understand, he's more of the bear variety than of the twink variety.
Yeah. So he's not writing a version of himself.
I didn't meet him personally. Personality-wise, possibly. So I did actually have a little bit of correspondence with him on Facebook.
Are
you friends?
We are friends on Facebook. I say that he's a bear, but I should probably look that up, because I'm probably going to... email him this to him, and he should.
And he's totally got me completely wrong.
That
jerk.
It's
okay, Jason. Angela,
go ahead.
Himself as a twin.
Well, as Susie said before, it's very homemade looking, the artwork, and then it's...
Maybe I'm not going to forward this to him.
I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but just...
Yeah, it's not a negative thing.
Yeah, I'm the newest person to graphic novels, so I don't have a great vocabulary to talk about it, but just in comparison to some of the other artwork, I just could tell someone drew this.
Yeah.
And,
it's interesting, because I really felt like we read, 9 or 10 issues or whatever.
Right.
It definitely got a lot better.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
For sure, yeah.
And,
But between that and a lot of the dialogue is very teen to me,
It does seem like it is a comic that a gay teen could pick up and enjoy and feels very accessible. And
feel represented, feel that there's something there. So that was sort of, I kept coming back to who the audience was for it. And I mean, certainly anybody could enjoy it. I enjoyed it. It was fun. It's, super camp. Every stereotype in the
super
book is
camp.
In there.
That would be a great comic. Super camp. Go ahead.
You know,
cliches and stereotypes and everything is in there. But I just kept coming back to this would be something for adolescents or even tweens, like junior high, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Some guy
I
pick up and enjoy.
I really am. I don't believe it's collected in any format yet,
mm-hmm.
but once it is, I want every young adult library section in the country to actually carry this.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's fun. I mean, it's definitely not, a classic piece of literature, but it's fun and it does speak to, I feel it really speaks to gay young people, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a way that maybe a lot of other things don't.
Yeah.
I think it is very engaging.
Yeah.
In that way. And you do want to know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And I think there's an interesting play on, obviously, there's a lot of talk about masculine and feminine, and I think that gender is reversed a lot in the books. There's
mm-hmm.
a lot of very strong, kick-ass females, and then there are males who maybe aren't so much.
Mm-hmm.
And the play on that, I think, is interesting, and I think would be great for kids to have access to, versus the archetypal, like, you know, big, strong superhero guy, and there's usually maybe a kind of smart female, but, you know, in the need of a lot of, you know, saving. There's a lot of rescuing kittens out of trees kind of thing. And this kind of turns all of that on its head. And really, he's questioning his identity. And the metaphor is through his superpower, but it's really obviously bigger about who he really is and he realizing who he is and then how that plays out in the world and his relationships. So,
mm-hmm.
very interesting. It's a totally, I haven't read a lot of comic books, so that's really not a huge statement, but definitely different than anything I've read, and it was really fun read.
Well, and I'd say when we were on the plane, I mean, we were like
ripping through
each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, like what we were taking turns on reading them all at the same time on this very long flight, as we were also taking turns holding the baby as she was sleeping. And when one person got slow, I mean, we were all like,
"Hey,
we need the next issue.
Yeah.
Like, get in gear,
concentrate."
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Cool. What did you think of the relationships in the comic? Because it is as much about the relationships as it is about the superheroics.
Right. And I would argue the superheroics is just sort of a backdrop for how the relationships play out.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really interesting. And I think I love that, like, are we going to spoil?
We're going to
probably
do spoilers.
Right.
So
for people who are interested in this comic, we highly recommend it. And you could stop the podcast now
and go read it.
We'll have a link to where you can buy the comic. Unfortunately, there's no place in the Twin Cities that carries it, but there are plenty of places you can mail order it
from.
You
know, we should all mention it to the source, though.
Yes, we should. Yeah, we should. I thought that it was fantastic. Like, there's this sort of love triangle brewing, and, you know, I think that's great. I think
mm-hmm.
that, like, he's kind of fell headfirst into this whole new identity, and now he's going to have to figure a lot of stuff out. I think that him having sort of like a girlfriend that's not really a girlfriend is so appropriate. And I think that's the most believable part.
That's okay, we're now interrupting Angela's train of thought to show her a picture of Brian Anderson.
That's
Brian
Anderson and his boyfriend, I believe.
Yeah.
Brian's the one on the left.
Mm-hmm.
This is a picture from their Facebook page. And yeah, he's a bearish kind of guy. He has a goatee and, he's definitely a trendy looking guy. And Preston Nesbitt, who I believe is his boyfriend, is sporting the bow tie because bow ties are cool.
Bow ties are cool.
Bow ties are cool. You know, I bet Brian Anderson is a Doctor Who fan.
I bet. Yeah, I'm sure. For sure.
Yeah.
I think the relationships are really interesting, and I think that's actually the most interesting part of the books.
Yeah, you really don't care about the battles and stuff. Although, I mean, in one of the cliffhangers, where they're doing the big battle with one of the characters who has a hidden agenda, there's a cliffhanger And you are, like, if I didn't have the next one, I'd be like, I'm going back to store. Yeah. Getting it right now.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you sent me 10 issues, and I figured, okay, wrapping everything up at issue 10.
Nope. Nope. Still going on. And yep. I don't know if there's any, if he's made an announcement about
the balance.
Issue 11 yet or not.
Well, he better, because I need to know what happened.
But, you know, he's working on other projects as well.
Oh, really?
Well, I sent you that one Friend of Dorothy comic.
Oh, right, yeah.
You got that right, Susie?
Yeah, I got that one, too.
Okay, and then he has that other comic that you had talked about, Marty.
Oh, yeah, I read, like, there's some online, like, sort of previews, and I read one of them, and I had a really sort of negative reaction.
But that was the one with the superhero team where they're very...
Oh, yeah. They're all gay. And
gay or bisexual.
Yeah. And I think the reason that I didn't like it was that it was like they were all...
they were all pretty much whores.
Well, and they were... Oh, God. There was like
that
one...
There's anything wrong with that.
I was going to say, what made that make Marty not like it?
Yeah.
Well, they were really ragging on straight people. Like, there was some kind of, like, just the attitude of you're straight, you don't belong here, that kind of thing. And I don't
rag on straight people. I pity them.
Well, I mean,
we appreciate it.
I'm used to it. Listen, I lived with Sarah for 4 years. I'm over it by now.
Okay, Marty. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly. I don't remember enough to.
So
really
there's that
say
one
critique, but it felt like the all of the characters were stereotypes or cliches in that one. And
definitely, he submits stuff to Zuda pretty frequently. So far, he hasn't gotten anything picked up by Zuda.
Yeah.
There's in fact one comic where. This you can read online. I think you can read online, or maybe it was printed in a comic, and I don't remember if I got that one or not. But it's a one shot that he submitted to Zuda, where the concept is you have a gay teenager who is getting picked on at school, and he becomes the new version of this classic superhero. But that superhero is a Wonder Woman type of character. So,
it's another gender bend.
It's another gender bender type.
That one was in the stack.
Oh,
that
was
you
it?
Guys sent me.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't read that one, but I read the Zuda rejected one. And it was like kind of about somebody in bed or something like that. Like it all took place in some. Like it was like
there was, there was another one in there with. It seemed. Like, it was playing on 80s cartoon characters, but they've gone bad, and...
Yeah.
They were the...
Eat the soul.
Of the Care Bears.
Yes.
They were, like, bad Care Bears, yeah.
That one, I was not so into that one.
But
yes.
did you read the one
so that
with
was,
the...
that was
the,
physically
the,
printed? Because I...
With
I,
the Wonder Woman
I definitely read
character?
That one online.
No, it was, we had it in the stack.
Those were in print as, like, specials. I think the Wonder Woman type one was... printed in the Friend of Dorothy.
Oh, see, I didn't make it through the whole issue.
I didn't either.
Okay,
the Evil Care Bear one was at the end of one of the issues of the comic.
Those,
yeah.
To be honest, I felt that Wonder Woman esque comic was better than the Friend of. I liked the Friend of Dorothy, but that's more because. It's a gay character who gets to go to Oz. So, you know, like,
we
all yay!
Know. Yeah. Jason's dream.
Yes, but...
he's clicking his heels together three times as we
speak. Pretty much. Yeah. But I really like that one, the idea that this this gay male teenager takes on the mantle of the Wonder Woman character.
Mm-hmm. I love the concept, yeah.
And it wasn't, but it wasn't by choice. It just, he happened to... It seems like the character, the mantle gets passed on almost like being a slayer. Like, one dies, and the next one
kinda,
is chosen, and he's the next one who's chosen, even though it had always up until then been a woman.
And man, I wish I could fit into that costume that he wore. I would be wearing it to all the conventions. In fact, actually, I do have this idea of putting together like a psych costume to wear to a convention.
Yeah, I'd say you're totally off the costumes you've been had in so far.
I've been not counting my points as much as I should be lately. But, like, I bet Brian Anderson would get a real kick out of someone showing up to a convention wearing a psych costume.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, we're going to throw it down. Convergence.
July 2011.
Psych. I want
to
see it.
All right, I'll talk to my mom about getting over. We'll do the psych costume.
You heard it here first, folks. You heard it here first.
I gotta say, I love the idea of the blue scarf instead of a cape.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's just so, something I don't think I've seen in superhero costumes, and there's just only so many variations you can do.
Well,
the typical spandex costume.
He's got his own look.
I've never seen somebody using a scarf instead of a
glasses.
It would have to be a Gaultier scarf, though, I think. Couture.
It is slightly less practical in battle, I think, than capes.
Yeah.
Because capes can just get, stuck on stuff, but a scarf can actually scare at you.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, Superman can pull off the cape, because he's kind of invulnerable. But, and then Batman uses the cape
as a weapon.
But as we saw in The Incredibles, capes can be bad. No capes.
Well, I'm gonna bow out here, but.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right.
It's worth a read. You should look into it. It's definitely worth it.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did. Great pick.
And I have some others of his that I brought with me, but I didn't lend to you guys, so I'll have to get them for you. And
I'd love to read them. Yeah.
And I'm gonna see what I'm gonna talk to the source and to.
They should absolutely.
Double Danger
and
comics.
Yeah, Artie, you should talk to them too. Like, we should have multiple people separately.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
the source totally doesn't know that we're friends.
Whatever. They don't know me.
That's true.
They don't know me. I go in there and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, they're like.
I have that look on my face. They're like, you're new here, aren't you? I'm like.
They can smell the non-comic on you.
Shut up. I'm doing a podcast. I'm super comic. Look at me.
Where's your cape?
I wear my cape on the inside, okay?
All right,
guys.
Bye, Angela.
Thank you, Angela. It's great to see you.
Good to see you, too.
That's a great name so I was thinking about, gay comic book stores and what they would be named.
Super comic?
Well, I wear my cape on the inside.
I wear my cape on the inside. Nice.
I was also thinking Somewhere Over the Rainbow. But
I'm pretty sure that name has been taken by
probably.
Many stores of so many different
over the Rainbow, there was a bar in the Twin Cities called Over the Rainbow.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
And so
on the subject of convergence, though, Susie, you should totally come next year.
You should, Susie.
Oh, Susie, you have to come next year.
Okay.
Promise?
I'll try.
It's 4th of July weekend.
Which is fun anyway.
The theme next year is kind of cool. It's, but she just wanted to play with your phone. What's wrong? Colleen she was grabbing Angela's phone.
She distracts me with the cute, and then she goes for my phone.
So, the theme for Convergence next year is retro science fiction.
Hmm.
Okay.
Which, there's kind of a little bit of a mini battle between fandoms right now. Some people think that it being retro science fiction means that next year's Convergence is all steampunk. And I'm like, no. Steampunk is not retro. Steampunk is alternative past. Retro science fiction can cover everything. It can
but
include
things like,
steampunk.
H.G. Wells Time Machine can be both.
Exactly. But, I mean, retro science fiction, you can have stuff.
Metropolis.
You can have Buck Rogers and all the various iterations of Buck Rogers.
How about Star Wars?
Even Star Wars,
that's sort of
really
horrifying. But okay,
the original trilogy can be pretty retro.
Yeah.
But the TV like the original Battlestar Galactica.
Mm-hmm.
The
Austin Space.
Yeah, I agree.
Austin
I would
Space,
steampunk wasn't even like the top five things in my mind of what it could be. So,
but yeah, I'll start working on a psych costume for that. Maybe we can get Brian Anderson to come out to Convergence.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I would like to meet him. I think he's been...
Gay Loxagon?
You know, actually, that is a good idea. Oh my gosh. That is a really good idea. We're having a Gay Loxagon meeting this weekend. Mm. And I might have to suggest Brian Anderson as a guest of honor.
And when is it coming back here?
It's coming back in October of 2012.
Okay.
So that isn't... Thank you, Florence.
Anytime.
We're just
I have your own idea right back at you.
Marty, we were just talking about that we should ask Brian Anderson to come as a guest for Gay Loxagon.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Susie,
yes.
You actually have the comics in front of you.
Yes.
Why don't you take the lead for a little bit?
Okay. So, yes, we mentioned that our hero is Psych, and he is part of a superhero group, which I'm going to have to open up one of the comics to recall what the name of that group is.
Yeah, I feel kind of bad because I haven't actually read the comics in almost a month now.
Yeah, it's tough when we don't have copies on both sides.
Yeah. Anyway, so he's part of this superhero group, and he is the most superfluous member.
And it's not entirely because his power is lame. It's also his
rather lame.
A little bit.
And yeah, they state that he has this power, but Marty's right. We don't really see him using it because there will be many, many times throughout the series where it would be really useful for him to know what other people are feeling, and he doesn't seem to.
Yeah, he doesn't even really. See when people might like be behind him, and who might be angry with him. You know, he doesn't
people
even have
who are
like
angry
a.
With him or people who you know might have secret romantic feelings about him.
It's true.
He doesn't ever seem to notice that either.
Yeah. So he's maybe he has the power, but he's just clueless.
My impression is that power is not real, and it's only later when he gets sort of more powers or. He basically has, like, a psych blast that comes out that I feel like, okay, now he's got a real power. And if you recall, I think that happens after the leader of the group, the superhero group, has given him part of his powers.
Mm-hmm. So, sure, that does happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, but he's a bit on the immature side. He's very, very, very much in the closet to everyone and himself.
There's also another member of the superhero group who is, like, his enemy. His enemy.
His nemesis.
Yes, his nemesis. She really wants him off the group and thinks that he is ineffectual and powerless. And I forget her name.
Her name's Halo, and she's a bit of a mystery to me, because at first, she's totally, you know, you kind of get that she just doesn't like him because she thinks he's useless, and they have to waste their time saving him during battles instead of fighting. But then, after he develops actual powers that are useful, and does useful things, she still hates him. And she still is mean to him, and yeah. To be on the point of just being bitchy, but to, like, actively try to foist him out of the group. So, yeah, I'm not sure what her deal is, other than is she just really bitchy. Because there are other members of the group who don't seem to really care for him that much either, but when he actually does, you know, contribute,
then
they kind of turn around a little bit. They're still kind of nasty to him, but
they respect
are
him
less
more.
Nasty to him, I guess.
Yeah. And there's also another group of superheroes that's just a brother-sister team
mm-hmm.
that are main characters.
And they're basically the Wonder Twins.
Okay, yeah.
With maybe a little bit more...
Wonder Twin types.
Actually, I suppose they're more North Star and Aurora. Well, quite literally more North Star and Aurora.
What were their names?
Comet and Star?
Comet and Star.
Yeah.
So Star's the girl and Comet is the boy.
Yeah. So, you know, and it turns out that Comet has a crush on Psych,
But he doesn't really... at first he doesn't realize that's what's happening, but then he does.
There's a bit of a sitcom aspect to the comic. Very... Well, more than a bit of a sitcom aspect. I think that Brian Anderson has definitely taken a page from the sitcom writer's handbook in his plotting.
And, well, let's see, there's another important character is Skip, Sykes' best friend.
Yep.
Who is, has no superpowers.
But she is the hairstylist.
Stated once that her mother did at one point. And,
she is
though he says she's her best, she's his best friend, he's kind of a terrible friend to her.
Well, he does treat her like the prototypical fag hag, which, is, I hate to say it, the stereotype of how gay men and fag hags interact is somewhere between best friend and treating the fag hag as kind of almost a pet. That's a stereotype, and it's
despite
not...
Despite the fact that he's supposed to be an empath, and she clearly... has romantic feelings for him. He is utterly clueless about that.
Yep, and that's definitely, that's also kind of playing into the whole gay man, fag hag stereotype, is that
the hag would have those feelings.
Yep.
But he's also just beyond, let's forget that, that he can't tell that she loves him or admires or whatever it is, but he's just... He is completely self-centered around her. Everything, all their interactions are completely about him. You never once see him ask her anything about her life or what's going on with her or how she's doing.
Yeah, he's pretty self-centered in the beginning, especially.
Yeah.
Well, in the arc...
And he kind of takes it for granted that that's okay with her, that she's just fine with listening to every little detail about his life.
A lot of the arc is about his, not just his coming out, but about his
sort of self awakening.
Yes,
yeah.
I will
then,
just go ahead and say I do not like him.
And then, like at the end, after he's self awakened a bit more, and at this point he's now like aware that she had feelings for him and totally went and made out with her and sort of declared her his girlfriend just. To cover up for the fact because he suddenly realized, wait a minute, people think I'm gay, oh my god.
So he has to get a girlfriend.
Yeah. So that's, again, very, very selfish. But not that I didn't believe that he would do that, and that it's unbelievable that somebody would do that. But then, he realizes, no, I'm totally gay, and I'm in love with Comet. Then both she and Comet nearly get killed, and he doesn't care one bit about her.
Yeah,
she's supposed to be his best friend, and I understand, the boy he's finally, his first kiss with, he's all, oh my god, I really am gay, and this guy likes me, and then suddenly he's in mortal danger and everything. But not a minute, not for a second does he spare for Skip, who's also just nearly been killed. Okay, that's it.
I think that's a totally legit rant. I think... Angela mentioned earlier that this is a comic that has a lot of really strong women, but that particular woman character is just sort of a punching bag for a lot of other characters, and it's tough.
So, yeah. That was, the one thing that made me not unequivocally like Psych.
Well,
I got that he was flawed, and I got that there was, and that was on purpose, and that he was going to be doing a lot of growing, but... I felt for him to truly grow, that has to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. And Marty was saying, he did say that he did not like Psych at all. Do you feel that way from the beginning all the way to the end?
I feel like, I think that's part of the story, is that you're supposed to kind of feel like, okay, when are you going to get over yourself? And he does.
I think you need to say, when are you going to get over yourself, girlfriend?
Girlfriend. And, it feels like he is moving in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think he's gotten there as of issue 10. And I don't know. It's hard. It's hard for me because I am not one who thinks, you know, we shouldn't be held responsible for the things that we did in the past. Like, I kind of feel like, yeah, you did those things, and now you're still a jerk because you did those things. Like, you can apologize for them, and that makes you less of a jerk. But it just changes. It doesn't negate what you did before. And I guess I feel like...
you're still a person who did those things.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because now you feel bad about it. That's good that you feel bad about it. That doesn't mean...
How many jerky things did you do as a teenager?
I did a lot of jerky things. It's for sure.
Yeah.
I'm not immune to this.
Yeah. No, but what you say is valid as well, yes. You know, and I mean, that's how we get along in society, is that we do make mistakes and we apologize for them.
And try to change and not make the same mistakes
again.
And
try to change, yeah. And that's a big part, is that it seems like Psyche, as a character, is trying to change.
Mm-hmm. And it's not, yeah, like I said, I didn't hate him. Like, it sounds like Marty did kind of hate him, and I didn't hate him. It was just that bit that really irked me, that kept me from being 100% behind him, despite his flaws.
So have we talked about favorite characters yet?
No, not yet.
Because Comet, very dreamy.
Yeah, he seemed to be the most likable character, for sure.
Yeah.
Although he's a little wishy-washy, you know? I mean, it shouldn't be that difficult for him to... I mean, he's supposed to be the more self-aware and assertive character, but, you know, he doesn't go up to Psyche and say, hey, I like you. Let's go out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's always saving him. Carrying him home in his
arms.
Why
can't you read between the lines? Why can't you just know what I'm thinking?
And like the awkward pauses when Psyche is, you know, they're trying to figure out how he's going to carry him while he's flying. I really like that, actually. I he's definitely my favorite.
Yeah, I could go with a boyfriend like Comet. Much more so than the leader of the superhero team.
No, he was interesting to me.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I liked him so much, but it was just an interesting... He's very ambiguous.
Seemed like old school closet case.
Yeah. I mean, he had a relationship with the one character who was essentially the Wonder Woman character. So he's kind of the Superman. And this one other character who disappeared is the Wonder Woman character. And it turns out that he pretty much caused her...
disappearance.
Caused her disappearance, but not, like, didn't hurt her. He just...
put her to sleep forever.
Yeah.
He trapped her in a time loop. She wouldn't feel unhappy, but she was missing out on her life in the world.
Yeah. And you don't... As of right now, we don't know why he did that.
I suspect it's because she caught him kissing a boy or something like that, and he couldn't deal with the idea of that becoming public knowledge.
Could be. I mean, it really sounds like they were of a time.
Well, my theory was more along the lines of he was doing what he was supposed to do, and he was in a relationship with her, and he didn't know any other way to get out of it.
That was another
solution. Like, well, I can't break up with her, and I can't come out, but I don't want to spend the rest of my life with her, so I'm just going to put her in a time loop.
As you do.
Yeah, exactly. That was my theory. But Florence's theory is also very valid and possible.
And so far we don't have a good picture of this female character that got put in the time loop. You know, it's entirely possible that, her first comeback, she's basically attacking the good guys. Now, she was misled, but we don't know what she was actually like as a person. Maybe she was kind of a real bitch. Not that would deserve putting her in a time loop or anything like that.
Her name is Ultra Woman.
Ultra Woman, but you know that we don't know what happened yet. We're all making suppositions.
Yeah.
Because his interactions with Psyche are very ideal. Like, he is so supportive of Psyche, and so nice to him, and so understanding. And, so virtuous and good, yeah.
And a bunch of it does really seem kind of like, okay, is he coming on to Psych?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I thought that that was definitely the reason that he brought Psych to the team is because he kind of had a crush on him.
Yeah.
And was kind of fostering some kind of relationship where Psych would be grateful to him and it'd look up to him. But it doesn't seem like he knows how to have a relationship with a boy that's...
Well, he doesn't know how to have a relationship with a woman either because,
yeah,
you know, he stuck her in a time loop.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it is... another layer.
You hear that, Psych? You might want to stay away because you get him pissed off, he might stick you in a time loop.
Like, if you push him to possibly come out, he may just get rid of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we're up to issue 10 with that. I need to look online and see if there's any news about issue 11. The last time I looked, he was actually working on some of his other projects, like Friend of Dorothy. And there's another series that I can't remember the name of. I did buy the first issue of that, and that's a superhero duo.
Diva. Somebody in Diva.
Yes, somebody in Diva. I can't remember what it's called.
I'll figure it out.
We're getting worse reception with you for some reason.
You got louder, but then there got to be some more feedback. But it's okay. We can hear you. It's fine. Wait, was it Rainbow and Diva?
Huh? I'm looking. I haven't
found it. One of the things about this comic that I really want to applaud Brian Anderson for is just the fact that he had the idea, he created it, and put it out.
Yeah.
And just something that has really kind of gotten to me lately with all the bullying stuff and the It Gets Better videos and everything is that I really wish that just that every gay person would start creating things, whether they're writing or creating movies or songwriting or doing comics or something. Just that I want more gay people to have creative output of some sort.
Yeah, getting things out in the world, in the public consciousness, and imagination.
Yes. Yep, that. You know, whether it's something that is a superhero comic, whether it's considered palatable to polite society, or whether it's something that is over the top. You know, if you're involved in the fetish community and you have this idea for a fetish comic or, you know, something, get
right.
it out there.
Not everything has to be proving we're just like everyone else. I mean,
exactly.
Showing the diversity.
And so, you know, just for that alone, I fully support Brian Anderson for being a creative gay person and getting his creativity out there in front of everybody. And I want to help, you know, get those comics where people can see them and not just a few stores across the U.S. Because right now it sounds like that's what his distribution is a dozen or so comic shops across the U.S., although there really aren't that many more than a dozen or so comic shops left in the U.S.
I was just going to say, I mean, comic shops are dying anyway.
Yeah.
Like, really,
but
it's all online.
Also, online, and also, you know, if he gets trades out, I really want to get them into libraries. Because that's where I read most of my comics is from the library.
Yeah. I will say, and...
Oh, here it is. The name of the other comic.
Yes?
Rainbow and Diva.
Yep, that's what I thought, Rainbow and Diva. And I think I got the first issue of that, but I don't think I got the whole set. And I think there's four or five of those. Go ahead, Marty.
I was just going to say that, I mean, we debated buying our own copy of this.
Oh, really?
And if it hadn't been $4 an issue...
It's not cheap.
I would have felt a little bit... You know, like, and... I kind of expected to find a collection of, oh, the early issues are on sale or something like that, and no. They are all $4.
This is self-published.
Yeah. Which, all right.
You know,
maybe it costs that much.
Maybe, you know, if you see him at a convention, he has all the issues, you might be able to talk him into a deal where you get the full set of 10 for maybe $30 instead of $40 or something.
Yeah.
So
it's tough to spend, you know, $40 on.
I did it. And I was on vacation.
You were on
an expensive,
on
in an expensive city.
And we appreciate it. We all benefited from that decision.
It's true.
Jason.
It's true. You did.
Yes, indeed.
So who knows? Maybe he will get a deal for a trade soon.
I was just gonna say. I mean, it would probably. I mean, it could even be two trades. And if they were, you know, $10 each or $15 each, that would still only be $30. I don't know. It just seems like a lot.
And I, you know, I'm sure he realizes that they're not the most inexpensive comics out there.
Yeah.
But
well, and self-published trades are also a lot more expensive often. And, you know.
Well, they don't have high volume offset costs.
Exactly. And so.
Now, that said, these comics are I forget how many pages is one of the issues, Susie?
Okay, just a sec.
I don't even know if they actually have page numbers.
Well, he lists every. We start at issue, the next issue at
the previous page count.
The last one.
Yeah.
That's right. That the number just keeps going.
Issue one was 25 pages.
So 25 pages.
That's pretty good. I mean,
and there's only really one ad on the back.
Mm. So that is the other difference. I think the cheaper comics have a lot more ads interrupting the story.
Yeah, and that's how you get them cheap.
Yep.
And they're not even really that cheap.
No.
Marvel and DC both have $3.99 comics now. And some of that is for reprinted material. So, well... maybe we'll all get a chance to meet Brian Anderson soon.
That'd be awesome.
You know, maybe I'll suggest both Brian Anderson and Brian Lee O'Malley.
Ooh.
For Galaxicon.
He's
not gay.
More.
It doesn't matter. Neither is Margaret Weiss. He created an awesome gay character.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
So
I said, how about Terry Moore?
Who?
Terry Moore.
Terry Moore was suggested at one point. And I don't remember what had happened with that.
I mean, I would be very excited about that.
We had also suggested Perry Moore, who wrote Hero, which I haven't read. I tried to. I couldn't get into it. I might try it again. He was too expensive.
It's not available as an audiobook.
Oh, is it? Who reads it? You know?
I can look that up.
Well, we should probably wrap
up.
Yeah,
we're getting wrapped. We're getting to wrap up. I actually have to be somewhere in a half an hour. And so that is our Read Comics podcast about the comic So Super Duper. We did say the name of the comic at the very beginning, didn't we?
Well, I think so.
We can always re-record it.
Brian Anderson's So Super Duper is the comic that we've been talking about this whole time, featuring Psyche. So we will be recording again soon. We will let you know what our next book club comic will be.
Someday.
Figure out whose turn it is offline.
Indeed. So, I'm Jason.
I'm Florence.
Marty.
And Susie.
And Colleen.
Who's almost asleep.
Yep. So, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye!